Okay, we'll continue on with the first question of 40 Questions of the Soul by Jacob Boehme. What preceded the soul originally at the beginning of the world? There we go. So previously we read about, we'll just begin where we left off at Jacob Boehme mentions the two mothers. We have dark mother, bright mother. Dark mother, sterile mother, first mother. Primal matter, and then we have bright mother, the impregnated mother. Okay. We can see also with the dark mother that her robe, it looks like a waterfall. So this is the beginning of consciousness, right? And the river flowing behind the bright mother, behind the empress, is a continuation of the water from the robe of the high priestess. The dark mother is also referred to as Ein, and then bright mother is Ima. The A is silent, as in Aleph. The Hebrew letter Aleph is silent. Both the mothers, which have so brought it forth, the one procreating the heavenly essentiality, and the other, the hellish, where also okay, making sure I was recording. The one procreating the heavenly essentiality. Ima, and the other, the hellish, where also we have written of light and darkness. So, high priestess is the dark mother. Therefore, we shall not be very well understood by the reader in this treatise unless he has read over and well comprehended the third part of our writings. Jacob Boehme's previous writings, his other books. One of them is that goes into great detail Mysterium Magnum. Okay. There's two of them. These books, very dense, very deep and inward. If there's an unfoldment that we desire when it comes to creation and reaching that eternal ground within us, the abyss within us, from the beginning from nothingness, these two books, Mysterium Magnum, are keys to the Philosopher's Stone. Okay. So going back to our reading, although that apprehending is not in human power, yet the way thereto is very faithfully shown him, so that if he do long to attain it, he shall obtain a guide and director if he follow our counsel, who will show him the key of the Mysterium Magnum, leading to that precious philosopher's stone and to all mysteries. Let none think this impossible, for with God all things are possible. He that findeth God findeth all things with and in him. Okay, so notice how reader has a capital R. Guide and director also have capital letters. This is nothing more than we are an image of God and we are guiding ourselves back to ourselves. All right, we are using our mind to go within. And we could say that we are attempting to go beyond where our mind was not manifested within the progression of unfoldment of all of manifestation. Okay. So there is the mind of God, but then we have our essence, which unfolded and progressed over our own existence in order to create a mind and then explore aspects of ourself which are reflected from the eternal ground that is within us. Okay. Speaking of eternal ground, the Mysterium Magnum is nothing more than the great mystery, grand mystery, the groundless ground, the abyss, eternal ground, Genesis of all essence. Okay. So we can actually channel ourselves and go back or go toward, not so much back, but go toward our spiritual essence from all of creation. But let's keep reading. Now you know, according to reason, that all things are originally sprung and derived from eternity. This also, the Holy Scripture tells you, in God are all things. In Him we live and move and have our being, and we are His offspring. Okay. And although men cannot say of God that the pure deity is nature, but that it is the majesty in the ternary, yet we must say that God is in nature, although nature can as little reach or comprehend him as the air can comprehend the sunshine. Going back to in God are all things, this is important because of the unity, the oneness of all, and we are as spirits manifested. So we are in a reflective process as we see one another as persons, right? I use the word persons because that is a sacred word used by Jacob Boehme. We're part of the spirit principle, the third principle. So the ternary, threefold self-manifestation of God. We are the spirit principle. We are creating movement. We come from the We come as the offspring, which includes the fire principle and the light principle. Okay. So we actually come from the darkness. The fire principle is actually not seen. We do have what we consider the fire element, on earth, which is a reflection of what we cannot see or comprehend, as Jacob Boehme talked about in the number three. Although that apprehending is not in human power, yet the way thereto is the faithful shown him. So, understanding, looking deeper into the what we perceive within our existence, okay, and then reflecting on the deeper meanings. Let's keep reading. However, we must say that nature is born in his will, and that it is a seeking produced out of eternity. For where there is no will, there is also no desire. But in God, there is an eternal will, which is himself, to beget his heart or son, and this will make the stirring or proceeding out of the will of the heart, which is a spirit. Okay. So, fire principle, the dark ground, light principle, transform wrath into love. So, when God had a desire, okay, we can use the heart, which would be the light principle, which transforms the darkness into love, because God is love and we are an image of God. We sprung forth out of the stirring within the abyss, the eternal ground, capital E, capital G, and we as persons, as spirits, are manifested. So this is when the two become outwardly expressed in creation as spirit. Fire principle, light principle, and then we have the outward manifestation, which we are images of. The eternity, let's see, so that the eternity consists in three eternal forms, which are commonly called persons, as we have very accurately explained in our third book. Then, if we discern and know that there is not only light and majesty, but also darkness, as is plain, it behooves us to know what darkness arise. All right. We can look at the magician of key one. This would be the we could consider the desire and love of God coming forth and going down into the darkness to cause a stirring and cause movement. All right, eternal will and heart come prior to the magician having this desire to cause a stirring within the sterile mother, the abyss. Now, in tarot, key one, self-consciousness is applied to key one. Subconsciousness is appointed to key two. And so within us, right, we can apply this same principle. But when it comes to our essence and where we originated, the original cause of our existence, because we are movement, we are spirit from a stirring from the eternal will of God. Okay. Now, since we know that God is considered love, and love is sort of a cosmic glue which moves things and creates movement. All right. We run our finger across very calm water that is not moving. The water begins to create waves, corresponding waves that move. This is just basic science, which we can, this is why we were able to apply these simple concepts to universal principles to help us go within for deeper understandings until we reach the point where, which we'll see in a little bit, we touch that eternal ground, which is also the eternal liberty. Okay. For in the eternity beyond nature, there can be no darkness, for there is nothing to bring it forth. We must also look into the will and the desiring, for a desiring is attracting. Yes, the will will attract the light, just as the light is attracted to the will. Magnetism. Okay. Light can be seen or can be known as electro, and then the will can be known as magnetism, electromagnetism. Okay. The will, if the will is not moving, the will does not attract the light. So the eternal will, which goes way beyond the God's will, is way beyond what we call the eternal ground. It's sort of like the Ein Sofer, beyond the three veils in Kabbalah. We just stop right there because our consciousness cannot travel any further. We have our limits. And whereas in the eternity, it has nothing but only itself, it draw itself into the will and make the will full, and that is its darkness. Whereas otherwise, if it were not desiring it, were a nothing but an eternal stillness without essence. We could perceive that with the nothingness and the stillness, there is the eternal rest. Okay. It's not unless there's movement that there is an awakening and consciousness becomes aware, the self becomes aware because of consciousness. All right. Going back. It draw itself into the will and make the will full. So just as a cup that's empty, well, the magnetism, it draw into itself, the cup has to be made, the space within the cup. Not the cup, just the space that opens up within the magnet, the will is considered painful or harsh. But that space has to be created to attract the light. So it pulls itself in, and that is its darkness. Whereas otherwise, if it were not desiring, it were a nothing, but a eternal stillness without essence. Okay. Eternal stillness without essence. Nothing. A blank canvas. It's like going to a movie theater and the movie's not playing. We're just staring at the blank screen. That's it. Until the projector turns on and projects light, moving light across the movie screen. So there's always symbols that we can use that are outside of ourself when we actually slow down our mind and use these impressions. They sink down into our subconscious, and then we could take these symbols, these experiences, and explore universal principles. Thus, the attraction make mobility and essences, which otherwise could not be in the stillness. And so also this make harshness, hardness, and drought, together with sharpness. Neither can we say, for all that the darkness swallow up the light, the eternal liberty. For that which is eternal cannot be altered nor changed. But yet we must say that the light and darkness are in one another. So again, the blank cosmic canvas is all one. Yet with movement and the attraction that is created by the will, so that the light can penetrate the will, right? Create essences. It's still all one and from the original creation. The eternal one. The eternal witness is another name. Now, the light is good and has virtue, but the darkness has the harshness, hardness, and coldness, and the desire of the will make essences and attracting, which is a stirring in the hardness. And if that which is attracted do stir by the drawing, then it calls a mixing up, whereby light and darkness are mingled together in the sharpness. We really do have this cosmic drama that is playing out, which is nothing more than the mingling within the movement of darkness, and light dances across the eternal ground. When the eternal stillness is not moving, then there's no essence. Okay. So there is a cosmic day and a cosmic night. Cosmic day, there's movement. Cosmic night, there's rest. And there's the stillness. But when the next cosmic day arises, there's movement once more. And the eternal witness. It's also called, there's also the name eternal fugitive. Again, we can only take our consciousness so far until we reach that eternal stillness, and then there's nothing. And we bring our consciousness back to our human existence, our assigned lot. We can go anywhere in the cosmos. Okay. But we again have to train our mind in order to have these understandings. And that's why I really enjoy using tarot because of the principles of consciousness. We can see through duality and experience unity within our conscious mind. And that's where we can play around with duality, but also be in the eternal liberty of unity, of the one. Let's keep reading. And we must consider that the free light is sharpened in the essence, in the sharp stirring, whereby we come to understand the fire flash. And before I go to the next page, I have nine tarot keys. Okay. For key one, we have what we could consider the eternal desire. Okay. Here we have with heart, okay, the balance of heart, the eternal desire will, using the principles of consciousness, suggest, which we could consider a stirring within the darkness, okay, the eternal ground, which created movement. All right. Now, the key two, here we have the dark mother. Okay. So she originates consciousness. So we have this desire with a capital D, eternal desire. And m mother will respond, okay, key nine, the agency of response will respond with movement, and then there's the lightning flash. Okay, we can see it right here. Jacob Behmen, he talks about the lightning flash, the fire flash right here. Okay. And when this is impacted within the eternal ground, within the movement, the light has impregnated the will. So now there's light that has been received within the will that drew upon in itself to create that opening or that movement that attracted the light. So we have the impregnated mother as the symbol, right? The light mother. And then there is what we could call the agency of grasp. Okay, so when manifestation occurs, then Jacob Boehme will go on the next page and talk about how there is a wheel. So sort of rolling across the eternal ground, which cannot be altered nor changed, but only have movement. And then here we have on key 17, the star, we have a mother who is creating movement. She has one foot on the water, The ripples of the water are actually within limits, okay? But notice within her left hand, she has the same water which she's pouring on the hard ground, the harshness, the hardness and drought, the sharpness of the ground. But this water is flowing in five streams, which represent the five senses of the human. But the water will return and flow back into the one pool of water. Okay. All right, so the three principles of consciousness, key one, the principle of attention, or the principle of concentration. And the light is concentrated on pointing down at the garden, the subconscious, which would be key two, the principle of memory. So all memory is derived from the origin point of consciousness, which is symbolic within the high priestess robe. And then key three, principle of imagination. And this is when light moves across the movement of what we would call the darkness, or the, yeah. All right. So the stirring, the sharp stirring whereby we come to understand the fire flash and the eagerness, and yet we cannot say that there is any separation. We really are just this wheel that's moving across the water. Okay. For that which is eternal without beginning emits no severe severing, but stands as a wheel, which bring about itself in itself, whereof you have a similitude in the mind of man, where indeed there is a will of a rising and running, but no removing. The greater the will is, the greater also is the essence, and the more strongly it is sharpened. Thus, the still liberty, which is neither darkness nor light, is sharpened in the sharp desiring, attracting, so that it appear as a flash, which is shineth. Okay, so if the eternal, there is no separation, there's only movement. And here we can see the greater the will, the greater also the essence. So this applies within ourselves on when we have a strong desire to do something, to create something, or to react a certain way or respond a certain way, then the will, the desire will create the space within the movement for the light to come in, right? The fire, all right? The fire within ourself is actually from our how strong our desire is. And that's how we get things done, other than just resting all the time. So I visualize sort of a vortex within the eternal ground. Okay. There is this going within itself, the within the harshness, to bring in the light, which is a meekness which also is brings relief and love and movement for the harshness because it desires it. And that is also considered the liberty. Okay. The eternal liberty within us. Also, we cannot say that the liberty do take in the flesh, for from eternity it has had nothing, but we can well say that the light and splendor shine in the liberty. Let me back up because over to the in my notes, it had similitude in the mind of man. I think I described that well, but then when we have our desires, okay, the fire, which bring about itself in itself. So everything that we desire, we are really just a product of our subconscious. So the stronger our desire, the more movement we create, and the more light we bring within, which will create manifestation. And this is also what the, if we go back right here, the majesty and the ternary. That's us, okay? Threefold self-manifestation of God. But we don't want to remove all desire. We can create this stillness within our mind, and that way we are pulled and attracted back to the what I would call the eternal ground within our internal self. But it's within us. But we really do have to still the mind, because our thoughts can be symbolic as fire. We want to contain our thoughts, take notice of them as the image at the bottom. We can view the ocean as movement which we travel upon. We could be the sparkles from the sun that are traveling and moving. We come in, we go, and then we're gone, right? On a cosmic level, we return back to the eternal ground. But we have our moment where we shine, our consciousness shines across the eternal ground. All right. It's very hard to put these images that we have within ourselves into words. And of all the ancient texts that I've read from Kabbalah and Jacob Boehme, I do believe that Jacob Boehme has one of the best attempts at from what he perceived from within himself. And supposedly, from what I've read, and it's been repeated by multiple authors, that he experienced the touch of God, which is nothing more than he went within and touched the eternal ground, the eternal liberty, and had those realizations spring forth and have the Spirit of God flow through him in order to create a lot of his writings. Okay. Greater the will, more strongly sharpened, go within to reach the eternal liberty. Kingdom of God is within us. We keep reading. For that which is free, let in the light, and that which is not free, as the harshness which make darkness and is material, to speak in a spiritual sense, which is not free, that do not receive the light. Okay. So here we can visualize that the more open we are with ourselves, when we have more love flowing through us, and our expressions towards one another, but it begins with ourself. We have to have that loving flow of ourself to remain open, and then we are more free. So the outside of what we witness, that we re that is reflected back, will match what we have within us. As within, so without. And that's cosmic law. So, what I may perceive as beauty and love, someone who is closed up, I use the word closed up with quotes, not free from themselves. We think of key 15, the devil, bondage. So, they're exploring they're exploring the fire principle with Jacob Boehme's model. They're exploring the darkness within, but will eventually rise out and become more free and light and lighter. Okay, we all have the spiritual community calls it dark night of the soul. All right. So we explore the darkness in order to explore and experience the light. But it's all one, just as we see within let's see. Oops. Up here. All one. Darkness on the left side, light on the right, center, heart, or balance. This we can truly say, that whatsoever is transparent and not of gross nature, take in the light as appear by the water, which take in the light and the harsh earth do not. So the water is more fluid, light reflects off the top of the water and through the water, okay, to a certain depth. Whereas we can use the harsh earth, the symbol of the harsh earth, where light just, it doesn't, there's no movement. Even though there is, it's very dense and there is vibration, with our physical eyes, there's no movement unless we move it. Here we have a hand, which would be key 10, Wheel of Fortune, grasp the harsh ground and create movement. All right. Moreover, in fire, you have a sufficient manifestation of the essence of all essence. For you see that the fire burn in a harsh, dry matter, for it is the harsh desire which enter into itself, like a great anguish, and reach after the liberty. Where also it received the liberty like a flash, and it kindle by the flash that it burn. So the wood doesn't have any movement until symbolically the fire will burn the wood, and the wood returns back to the eternal liberty. It's no longer an object. It's no longer part of the third principle, the energy returns back to source. Symbolic. And although it must be understood that there is no such fire in the eternal essence as that is which appear externally, yet it is internally in the harsh desire, and externally it remained dark. Therefore, the eternal fire is externally dark and internally, as it is in itself in the will of the eternal liberty, it is a light which shine in the still eternity. So that's a lot. Paragraph 20 probably needs to be read 20 times because the way I break down this paragraph is the wood itself externally is an object of the stillness, the dark, the harsh desire, but then the external fire applied to the wood, okay, which would be the light, symbolic for the light, the fire, the dark, burns within the dark. Okay, so that now we have symbolically a visual of the Holy Spirit in action. There's the scene taking place in the cosmic drama, the fire burning the wood represents the dark world and the light world working together to create a beautiful fire and the beautiful burning wood. So light and darkness working together to create this image, this scene, this experience for us to witness. And this is symbolic when we pull it within ourselves. And Jacob Boehme is attempting to explain internally, as it is in itself, in the will of the eternal liberty, it is a light which shine in the still eternity. Now then, we understand that in fire there are 10 forms, all which are born in the will, and all belong properly to the eternal will. Now this gets interesting because Jacob Boehme is attempting to deduct fire itself and the manifestation process that all stem from the eternal will, God's will, right? Therefore, we rightly say that the eternal will is God's will, and that the liberty which hath the will is God Himself, for it is the eternity and nothing else. So here is key zero, the full super consciousness exploring itself, right? And we all will, for whatever degree of consciousness we are exploring within ourselves, we all will perceive and ingest this dense material very differently. But we actually, as it has been said, have the potential to touch the eternal liberty within us. That's when we become more transparent and the light flows through us. And as the spiritual community has said, we shine like a beacon because the Spirit of God is flowing through us. We don't have the cloak of ignorance. We play with form and matter and duality, but we can take the cloak on, or we can put the cloak on and take it off more freely because we've went within to the point where, as you see in the image of the man at the edge of the cliff, there's no one else around him except a small light, which we can consider the point within us, our essence, which began within the movement of the eternal will. Okay. That will be all for today. That was a lot, very dense and deep material, but I do believe very necessary in order for us to rediscover and remember our original cause of existence. And then I say existence, but it's more of a remembrance. That's all it is.